If you found this podcast, chances are you're a high achiever and you're successful. But now you're stuck and stressed, and you realize that everything you've created hasn't given you the fulfillment and the joy you thought it would. This is where we discuss the keys of high performance mindset and stepping into the next best version of yourself. Welcome to the Positive Persistence Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Positive Persistence Podcast, where we bring you stories to inspire you and strategies to help you tap into your potential and become your best self. Today, we are joined by an amazing faith-driven entrepreneur that I had the pleasure of meeting at Amberly Lago's Unstoppable Success Summit earlier this year. He's the host of the Build Podcast. He's a world-class speaker and author who empowers people to overcome adversity and build lives of purposeful success. Rising from homelessness to founding multiple businesses that generate nearly 9 figures in annual revenue, he now serves as a guiding voice for those seeking breakthrough transformation, both business and life. Stephen Scoggins, welcome to the show.
Ian, what's going on, buddy? Man, dude, I can't wait to hang out with you. We had such a great time at Amberly's event. And then I got to sit at that table with you and I got, you and your wife are fantastic people, man. I'm stoked to be here. I really am. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And I have been just chomping at the bit to have this conversation since we had that first meeting at Amberly's Summit, which was awesome. And I know that you have so much wisdom and so many tactics, tips, and information that can be so useful for so many people. Obviously, the people that you've coached throughout the years, you also have your own podcast and so many other businesses that you've helped people throughout your life. But I was hoping that we could kind of start for our listeners and viewers who may not know your story. And if you could kind of give us the backdrop of what led you to being homeless in the first place, and then how you kind of turn your situation around.
As you continue to evolve, right, yourself, as you continue to kind of, I call them life gates. So you're breaking through one life gate at a time. Mm-hmm. You go through one massive crushing that transforms you from the inside out, and you go to the next level. And you got, you know, 6 months to 6 years to run that course of that and then kind of get that growth, and you get to go to do it again. And I say that to say that my homeless journey, it's funny. Sometimes it feels really far removed from who I am now, because in many ways it is. But it also still is at the anchor of who I am.
Right.
I would like to think that some of the ways in which I approach people, build relationships, try to show up in the world, try to be have the heart of service, try to be really governed by what we're now referring to as spirit man, I guess you'd call it, which is non-ego Stephen. It's all the good things without the ego. Not saying the ego is bad, but the ego's job is to protect you. And at some point in time, you kind of evolve past that.
Yeah.
I'll lay the groundwork there because I think early on, especially growing up, I grew up in an environment where largely disjointed family, mother and father, largely not part of my life. Mm-hmm. Raised by my grandmother until about the age of 11. But at the age of 9, she comes to me and says, hey, I kind of need you to be the man of the house. And if you could think of a 9-year-old, I mean, your mental acuity is nothing, you know, you're not remotely close. I legitimately had a G.I. Joe in one hand and a Transformer in the other.
Right.
When this conversation happened. But,
yeah,
you know, there's just that sometimes there's a frequency exchange. You can look at somebody, you can just tell they're in a place. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you may feel in that moment to lean that direction. Right. Even as a child. In fact, I think a lot of things that happen to us in our earlier lifestyle create the limiting beliefs and the things that we have to later reframe and repair it ourselves in many ways. And in this case, it was one of the situations where literally 9 years old, she teaches me how to pull a chair over to the stove, make anything out of hot water and basically milk. So oatmeals and hot dogs and mac and cheese and all the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To help take the weight off of her and help facilitate, you know, a little bit of a healthier life for my little brother and I, who was 3 years younger than I was at the time. Oh. And my nanny, which is my grandmother's name, as I referred to her,
yeah,
you know, I also became her crutch. Like, she literally would put her hand on my shoulder and I would walk her. She would walk, I would kind of like walk her through the house.
Okay.
As she was, you know, this is the late 80s. So this is super a good bit ago, but as you can imagine, the chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff was actually more toxic than I think the poison of cancer at that time. But mm-hmm. Lo and behold, she passes away at 11. My parents don't really have a custody battle per se, but somehow I end up go live with my dad. She and my brother goes to live with my mom. They move to Florida. We stay here. And lo and behold, I end up on a construction site the next day carrying studs because my father was building houses. Now, the reason I take you that little bit of backstory is to begin to set the stage of how mental awareness and self-awareness and emotional regulation and things of that nature are so vitally important to how your mindset is fixated on the right thing or the wrong thing. You know, because I go to meet my first mentor of all time. I refer to him as Old Man Myrick. Steve Myrick is his actual name. He was a home builder in the Carolinas, my dad's employer, multimillionaire, super generous, but also super diligent with business. And I always had like this little, like, I kind of want to be like him when I grow up, kind of like vibe when I get around him. And
yeah,
I continue working summers, holidays, weekends, pretty much any time that I wasn't in school. We were on job sites. We were expected to be on job sites. I went from making $11 an hour carrying studs. By the time I was 16, I was literally running my dad's framing crew while he would go, you know, run bank errands or whatever. I could lay out walls. I could build houses, which is pretty incredible as a 16-year-old. So it's like, yeah. God has always put me in a position of leadership to some degree. Now, what I discovered was, is that not all leadership is well developed. Okay. And that development process is super important to anyone's well-being as they're beginning to transform their own life from the inside out, especially if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, you're an early stage entrepreneur. I would tell you that the one major business bad decision I made, or what one of my greatest challenges building businesses was not building myself first and along the way. And I say that to say that around the age of 17, situation happened, economy tanked. My dad got injured on the job. We didn't really have anybody to quote unquote provide for us at that time. So I dropped out of high school. I went to work, started earning money, got us kind of like stabilized and whatnot. The occupation I had delivering trash cans for Waste Industries, then becoming an assistant roll-off manager, which was I started delivering trash cans, but was fast forwarded within a year and a half. To basically take adults and lead them in ways that honestly they're leading for somebody half their age. I might have been 18 and a half, 19 years old at the time. And I was very fortunate to have people that kind of believed in me along the way that allow that to happen. But that industry or that company bought another company, brought in the leader of the former owner to lead the development. It became a poop show. I ended up quitting that project. And I immediately went to what I always knew, which is back to Steve Myrick. And, you know, sure, lo and behold, Steve Myrick is in a process of transition of where he was looking to, you know, because when you go to build homes, there's multiple layers of things that have to happen. You got a foundation, you got a framing, you got siding, you got sheetrock, you got interior trim, you got all these. And typically all of these things are very specialized trades.
Right.
And my father was obviously framing the homes, but what Steve didn't have was somebody to put on the exterior cladding, so siding in this particular case. And he basically fast forwarded me, put me in business for myself, bought me the tools, got me the truck, offered to run the back office because I clearly didn't know what I was doing there, helped me hire one or two laborers to kind of like, you know, we would say laborers nowadays, that was the word terminology there, sure. You know, now say assistant carpenter or whatever nowadays, but essentially he like set me up. And I think because I'd always grown up in a more of an impoverished environment where there was always a sense of lack and scarcity, inevitably what happens is you're not taught to handle money. You're not taught to handle your emotional regulation. You're not taught to kind of like really react in ways that can always be healthy. So I go for the next year. I make a bunch of money. I go from making, you know, call it $11 to $15 an hour in a very short amount of time, which at that time wasn't bad money. Especially for blue collar work. And I'm a big fan of blue collar work because that's where I cut my teeth. And, you know, the reality was we go through this transition where all of a sudden I'm making all this money. And what happens when you haven't been trained to handle your mindset or your money, right? You spend it unwisely.
Yeah.
Right. I began trying to buy things to prove my worth to other people because people that I knew in high school, were like, you're going to be a failure because you didn't graduate high. You know, you didn't graduate high school. You didn't follow the traditional path. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to college. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You know, I'm ADHD, dyslexic, didn't graduate high school. And pretty much I did a StrengthsFinder thing one time. Said if I was anything other than an entrepreneur, I'd be a hot mess. So in the grand scheme of things, what happens inevitably is like everybody else. So when people typically say, well, how did you become homeless? I would say it's very simply arrogance and ignorance. You know, I was very arrogant in my nature. I was driven by ego. I was driven by having a, what I call performance. I felt like I had to perform in order to get affirmation, to be accepted, to get growth, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And unfortunately, I chose the wrong people to even try to do that with in the first place. So inevitably, I get involved in a very difficult, toxic relationship and lose myself along the way and actually walk off the job of that opportunity, walked away from everything that I knew because I was such a hot mess. And that was the first major life gate that I think I had to transition through outside of the passing of my grandmother.
Yeah.
And essentially, it took me on a year journey of just finding the root cause of those belief systems and finding the root cause of really who I was going to be when I grew up, which I believe is my authentic self. So that's the very long extended answer of how I got found myself in homelessness. Yeah. I like to share the backstory a little bit because there are lots of people, unfortunately, even to this day, that are find themselves homeless, and some of it's mental illness. Some of it's, you know, bad choices, some of it's drugs and addiction, things of that nature. In my case, it was just really a loss of identity.
Right.
And I had to go on a journey to find that.
That is so important. And I'm so glad that you brought that up because I think that, you know, a lot of people that follow and listen to this podcast are trying to come back from a setback.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you need to change who you are, right? To be able to make that comeback. But for a lot of us, we don't understand that we have to understand our past and why we are the way we are currently is directly connected to things that have happened to us, usually in childhood. So I'm wondering if, in, you know, in thinking back, what do you feel that you were maybe missing? Or if you could live life all over again, what do you wish that you would have, what you would have had that would have filled that gap that you were trying to fill when you were trying to impress people or trying to find significance from others?
You know, I think it's two. I think it's really twofold. So after doing a lot of somatic work, a lot of prayer and meditation, I have my own grounding solutions that I do pretty much every morning and things of that nature. And what I discovered was, is there were really two, what I call underlying programs. So program number one is what a lot of us struggle with, especially if you're in people pleaser mode, which is the rescuer program. You feel like that you have to show up in such a way for other people that takes all of their pain or all their things off of them. You somehow take it upon yourself just because you're trying to, well, obviously in many respects, be seen, heard, valued, or appreciated. Okay. So those are what I call internal drivers. The second program that I learned away outside of the rescuer program was running the program of my ancestry. Okay, here's what I mean by that. Okay. So the first time I can remember ever hearing what I would equate to a true limiting belief spoken was actually my father, who I love dearly. I know he loved me dearly. He had a very challenging adulthood life. And fortunately, he's a fantastic grandfather, now a great grandfather. I'm actually, my son just had his first son yesterday. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, so generations are continuing. But, you know, my father specifically, he had a very difficult day one afternoon when he finally realized his business was going under. He worked really hard, but he didn't work really smart. And so that was a big contrast. And he comes to me and he says, in tears in his eyes, he said, I always want you to remember that Scoggins don't get ahead, they get by. Now, here's what's important about that statement. To the best of my knowledge, outside of the actress Tracy Scoggins, which I don't think is directly connected to us, there was over 450 years of a Scoggins not being influential or having a methodology of affluence. So there's no wealth creation. There was no compounding. There was no ability to inspire, encourage, and change lives. It was simply blue-collar work based on scarcity. Mm-hmm. Like everyone before me, all the way back to Northern Ireland, Southern Scotland, all the way back to as far as I could possibly go, I saw, you know, people that largely didn't believe they could do more. And the reason I say those two are the anchors is because I just really uprooted the first one in the last 2 years, honestly. I found myself getting involved in, still getting involved in relationships that were not serving me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show up and overcompensate because obviously in many respects, it was within my ability to show up in such a way to quote unquote rescue, pay off bills, buy houses, do cars, like all these kinds of things. And then I finally realized after a major heartbreak, I was like, well, what am I doing this for? And then when I finally went inside, I began to connect the dots, and that changed me from the inside out. And lo and behold, now my outside's changed. And then when you go back to the business side of thing, you know, I told you the homelessness journey, but a year goes by, that same person gave me a second chance to be back on their framing crew, gave me a second chance at the siding business, but wouldn't give me anything other than the opportunity. Right. So they give me nothing but the opportunity other than say, hey, well, if you go finish that house over there, I'll get you started. It was my job to go build the stuff out of the trash piles. Construction site grabbed the lumber, put everything together. My father grabbed the nail gun. We started putting the stuff together. Monday morning, we recreated that. We recreated that. That company later became the company that I sold in 2023, or majority stake in 2023, you know, for a healthy amount, but all in 400 team members plus, 300 in three states. The reason I want to give contrast because I feel like you can't transform your life, your business, or everything else without contrast. Mm-hmm. And you know, a couple moments when time allows, I definitely want to share with your audience what I think is the five constraints of building yourself and building a business that matters. Because I see a lot of entrepreneurs that get stuck under 500,000 or just about. Actually, what I'm seeing is that right $648,000 of top line revenue is where a lot of entrepreneurs can't get through. And they can't get through it because they're trying to get through it with outside principles rather than inside work. So we can help shape that and shift it. Because again, those two programs, if they're underlying, and we all have these programs somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And they're different for everybody. They're similar for some, but with them underlying, they're making subconscious decisions on your behalf that are causing you to take conscious actions that aren't getting you the results that you want,
right?
Or that you really desire.
Yeah.
So I like to teach people how to understand the program, unpack the program, basically overwrite the program and get back out there and get stuff done.
So in essence, we are talking about, I guess, neuroplasticity in a way,
mm-hmm.
which is something that you talk about. So let's just kind of jump into that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more. If you can revisit those two programs again, can you tell us about the programs?
Yeah. So I would call it the rescuer program. Mm-hmm. And then I would call it the opportunity program, the limitation, the scarcity piece. So rescuers, obviously, you're showing up to save everybody else from their stuff, which actually means you're preventing their growth, by the way. Because human beings, I don't know why, but we only grow through two methodologies, pleasure and pain, and we grow fastest through pain than we do through pleasure. So by understanding those two mechanisms, those two drivers, if you will, you put yourself in a better position to understand yourself, understand your team, and so on and so forth.
So in a way, are you saying that we will learn more about ourselves if we move outside of the pleasure zone being our comfort zone and we step into those uncomfortable situations, pushing ourselves, we're going to move ourselves further in life
mm-hmm.
if we, I guess, get comfortable with becoming uncomfortable, as the saying.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, the reality is that what you're doing is your subconscious programming is being largely controlled or influenced by what's called the ego. All right. So some call it the will, some call it the ego, but essentially it's the part of you that feels like performance is necessary in order to get what you want, go where you're at, and that your safety, your personal safety is dependent on how you operate from the ego side of things. Mm-hmm. Okay. What we don't fully realize is the ego and the spirit side of yourself are they cohabitate, but any point in time, one could leave the other. So in early days, my ego, my safety mechanisms, okay, I had to fight to eat. I had to fight to get shelter. I had to fight to build a business. I had to fight to become a market leader. I had to fight to know myself. I had to fight to become a better leader as a person towards my team. I had to fight to become a leader in my home. I had to fight. Like, there was all this uphill battle, okay? The reason that's important is because when you think about neuroplasticity and how your brain kind of fires and rewires, mm-hmm. if you don't get outside of what you've always done, it's going to be impossible for you to build a bridge to what you need to be doing to then go to the next level.
Right.
You know, so I mentioned the constraints before. They say in business, we'll use a business terminology. Sorry about the shaking hit the table here. we'll use a business frame of reference for a second. So they say in business, they're really top five things that cause businesses to fail. So 8 out of 10 businesses fail. They never make it past the 5-year mark. And the vast majority of them never break seven figures in top line revenue. And of those, the vast majority of those don't make it to 8 figures. And the vast majority of those never sell or make it to 9 figures. So it's when you sell a company, you're 0.2% of entrepreneurs in the world, right? When you break the 7 figures, you're about 1% of the entrepreneurs in the world. So there's a big gap, okay, between 1% and the vast majority before it.
Yeah.
And I had this interesting epiphany when I started looking at how my brain was wired, how my upbringing played a role into my belief system. Mm-hmm. Why did I feel the need to show up and save? Well, I showed up to save my grandmother in my own way, feeding my little brother, clothing myself, walking to school, being her crutch. I showed up with my dad, stepping in when he couldn't work because of being injured. Putting myself out there, putting food on the table, so to speak, buying a family car after cars got repossessed. And then after that, continued to show up and self-abandon myself for my team, not doing what was right for the business, causing, you know, because I'm trying to, it was just a repetitive pattern. But if you don't take the time to go look for these patterns, you can't see where the bridge building happens. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the five reasons they say the business has failed, they're like, well, lack of funding, lack of leadership, lack of product marketing fit, right? They have these external things that are statistically averaged.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're truthful. What I discovered is your business, your life, your relationship are all based on really five main constraints, right? So ignorance, mm-hmm. arrogance, impatience, fear, and insecurity.
I am writing these down. Ignorance.
Ignorance, arrogance, impatience, fear, and insecurity.
Okay.
All right. So I want you to imagine. So right now, you know, your audience watching and listening and even yourself, I just want you to take a deep breath. It just feels good to breathe, right?
Yes.
There's likely somebody on the call that's has got a sinus congestion. Okay. They go to breathe in. Maybe they're like me early on. They got a deviated septum or something. They're having a hard time breathing. You're like, I wish I could breathe, right? That is a constraint. Your airway is constrained. Okay. These constraints work like the same methodology preventing you from breathing, preventing yourself from breathing energetically, emotionally, spiritually, and preventing your business from breathing. Because what happens is you are the embodiment of your business. So if you are chaotic in nature, your business will be chaotic in nature. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it until you work on you, right? So I'm big in almost every dumb decision I ever made in business, ever made in relationships, ever made in the marketplace was based on a moment of dysregulation. In other words, the subconscious popped up, it acted up and caused me a problem. And then I would make a decision that ultimately would cause me 3 more problems. And we've all been there. We've all done it. We've all said things we know we shouldn't have said. We've all done things we know we shouldn't have done, right? We've all shown up in ways we know we probably wouldn't have if we would have been less hungry, had some good sleep, right? And had not had a fight with our partner, like all these kinds of stuff, right? Yeah. I'm trying to get people to understand that ignorance, arrogance, impatience, fear, and insecurity are the behavior mechanisms that are driven by the subconscious mind and by an unregulated heart. Okay. The reason I've decided to go to tell entrepreneurs, I can give entrepreneurs a bazillion different ways to build a scalable company. Tactics out the wazoo. Hey, I could, and I've sat down with entrepreneurs. In fact, we did this not long ago. I had a good friend of mine, Sean Anthony. He's got Pod Pro Max. He does things for podcasters and helping get bookings. He also actually does his own podcast and all this kind of stuff. So we were talking and he said, dude, I've never seen you coach anybody. And you're so good on a whiteboard with people like an entrepreneur. I tell you what, go get me 3 types of entrepreneurs, from 0 to 500K, 500, 1K to 1.5 plus. You go find them. You go curate them. I'll just show up and we'll just see what happens, right? And inevitably, what we do is I end up teaching them based on where they're at in their business, and they get that lift. But then we always come back to the internal you every stinking time. I was with an entrepreneur not long ago, and he has a media company out in the Midwest. And he was like, man, I've been stuck at $648,000 for 5 years. 643, 646, 648, 647. And he goes, I don't know why. So I said, okay, well, I'm here. We just filmed a podcast for somebody else. I'm like, hey, tell me about your business. Like, tell me about you. And inevitably, he was the throttle, because we all are the throttle.
Right.
Right. So right. It doesn't take rocket science to help somebody understand that they're the throttle.
Yeah.
So when you understand that arrogance is the inability and the undesirability of wanting to learn, like you think you know it all, the dumbest thing I hear entrepreneurs or business owners, even elite professionals say is, I know myself better than anybody else. That is absolutely not true. You may know your intentions, but other people know your actions. And because they know your actions, they know how you make them think and feel when they're in your presence. And either you're an influential leader helping the company win from a place of selflessness and service, or where you have the tendency or propensity to be a very selfish individual, right?
Right.
When you go to look at ignorance is like, I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know where to find it, which means you're not actually asking a lot of questions. You're not doing a lot of what I call introspection. Introspection is super powerful, right? And the funny thing about impatience, especially when it comes to what I call achievers and leaders and entrepreneurs and business owners, this is the one thing we all share in common. We all share this in common. This is going to blow your mind. It's so funny. We all think we should be further ahead than we actually are.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yes.
All of us. Right. And that doesn't go away until you learn to be present in the moment. Once you're present in the moment, now you can start to set the priorities and the dominoes up in your favor to start moving the needle. Right. So I get up every morning. Typically, you know, when I'm traveling, it's a little more difficult, but you call it first thing in the morning, call between 5 and 6 a.m. I'll spend some time. I have this mantra that I do 3 times every day. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm wise. I'm a steward of the Most High. And I love you, Stephen. I say that 3 times. And then I'll go out, and typically if I have grass near me, I haven't had grass near me in a couple of days because I'm traveling, but you know, I'll go out and sit on the grass and I'll listen to a prayer. Right. And then I have a journaling process that I call what I hear you say is. I'll just shut up and write what I hear after 2 or 3 minutes of silence. And some really profound stuff comes out of that. Some really directional stuff. All of these types of things begin to be tools to combat the internal you that's influencing the external you. So I'll stop there for just a minute, and because I know I've been rambling and ranting for a couple of seconds, but
so much good stuff. So, you know, that phrase that you just used, the word combat, and hearing what you're saying and how you're saying it, I feel like that is something that we need to do on a daily basis, is to go to combat, to war with all of the external expectations, all of the external prompts that we get from the outside of who we think we should be, and tap into the person that we truly are.
Yeah.
And until we do that, we are not going to be able to change to become the person that we want to become, and actually be able to connect our mindset and our hearts so we can tap into our full potential and move forward.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. Abundance isn't a dollar amount. It's not.
Right.
Abundance is when you wake up without fear. Abundance is when you wake up with connection. Abundance is when you really spend some time in knowing thyself and actually loving thyself. The vast majority of us, until we do the kind of work that I'm talking about, we spend more time condemning ourselves because we're not measuring up for one reason or another. It's funny, the stuff that we often say to ourselves, we would never say to a close friend. We would never like be so accusatory towards a close friend, right? And this is where the awakening happens, right? Because it's been scientifically proven now that there is a magnetic frequency, because we are both energy and water, in a human shell, okay? That's why we have a connection to source, what I call God, Jesus, what others may or may not share that same faith perspective, but there is a connection point. And when you're centered on the connection point, you are actually aligned. So if you want to operate at the highest level, there are really 3 main pursuits that you should pursue: authenticity, healthy identity, and rooted groundedness.
It's time to ask yourself, when was the last time you prioritized you? Did you know that research shows that nearly 85% of high performers struggle to maintain a performance mindset while juggling the demands of work and personal life? Those who actively prioritize their performance mindset and personal growth are 30% more likely to achieve their goals in business and life. If you're feeling crippling stress and anxiety, or if you're feeling guilty when you take a moment for yourself, Or if you're stuck in the grind and feeling burnt out, you're not alone. Many of us yearn for more, but struggle with the fear of being judged or feeling selfish. And you want to step into the next best version of yourself. That's why I created the Rinse Method, which got me from paraplegic to marathon runner. Backed by science-based proven strategies and now customized for high performers like you. If you're stuck and stressed and want clear steps that you can implement today to move forward, make sure you visit thepositivepersistence.com to download our free Rinse PDF.
Can I ask them what is, for some may think that authenticity and being yourself are kind of the same thing. What is the differentiating factor between those two things?
The easiest way to say is you remove the mask. I'll give you an example. Okay. So I was fortunate enough to meet you at Amberly's event, right? We hit it off awesome. I don't even know how this happened, but I'm just being present at the event, being there for my friend. You know, it was a big event for her. She had lots of amazing people in her mastermind group. And, you know, she's been working really hard for a decade or more. Right.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen her in forever. And, you know, a lot's changed inside of me in the last 2 years since I've seen her. Right. So I show up to this event, which, you know, and I have no agenda. I am not. I don't think you learned about my background until after, like, it was the questions were asked and all this kind of stuff, and probably did a little more research. The reason I say that is because the mask version of me would have shown up to that same environment and would have made it known in somehow, shape, or form that, you know, I have went from homelessness to X, and I have X, and I can do X, and I have these types of things, and that's all performance based worth. Okay. The authentic version of me says, hey, I'm here to serve. How can I serve you? How can I be of service? And I met entrepreneurs in the room, many of them. You're a brand new friend because it was like, hey, I'm Steven. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. And lo and behold, Amberly texts me, sends me a voice note. She goes, we just got through talking about you at my breakfast mastermind after the event. I'm like, what? Why did my name even pop up? Like, you see what I'm saying? There's a magnetism to showing up as yourself. It's the version of yourself we often think we have to hide. Okay. So
yes.
Will someone love and respect and be connected, be magnetically gravitate towards someone like myself if I didn't bring up, you know, money or accolades or all the types of things, prestige, all the things that have happened and part of my truth, but they're not the source of my truth. The source of my truth is I've been through a lot, I transformed a lot, and I have a lot to share with other people to help them do the same thing. And I can do that in the business realm. I can do that in the spirit realm. I can do that in the emotional realm. I can do that in the mental realm. And a reason I can do that is because I've been through times and seasons where if I didn't grow again, I would have been stunted. I would have stayed there. And it goes back to what you were saying, being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I see as a telltale sign of people who aren't actively transforming on a continual basis,
yes,
that they all share in common, is when resistance comes, they run. I'm saying when resistance comes, when adversity comes, when the moment it comes to level up and transform, count it as joy, it's time to lean in and get stuff done, right? And I'm going to tell you, I have cried numerous tears. I've prayed numerous times on my face on the floor. I have not known whether my next moment of joy was going to come from. I've been to some very dark spaces, especially when you go to do what's called shadow work. And shadow work is nothing more than you going in doing subconscious work. So shadow work, inner child, subconscious work are all the three the same thing. It's when you finally go inside to begin to transform from the inside out. To me, inner transformation is the anchor of all external transformation. You want to build a fantastic business? Fantastic. Work on you. You want to build a fantastic relationship and be amazing with your partner? Great. Work on you. Yeah. Like, well, you don't understand what they did to me over here and all that. No. That's irrelevant. Because what you're doing is you're making your behavior conditional based on what they're bringing to the table rather than being completely whole within.
Right.
I've learned that when I'm whole within, everything else around me becomes whole around me. It's really bizarre in how we consider human capacity to basically elevate, right? So you have to go and the one thing I would say when you mentioned the word combat is, to me, you're not combating yourself. You're finally accepting yourself, right? And that authentic, once you finally love and accept yourself, you would be surprised. I used to do this live event called Transform You. In fact, that's where Amberlee and I came to my event one year. And I always had these little mirrors inside the boxes, right? And typically on my event, I would teach 13 separate keynotes, essentially, is what it equates to. But I talk from the heart. They call me one part lion, one part lamb, because I just share, kind of like I'm doing now. Like, I'm just passionate. I want to help, want to serve. Anyway, one of the things I used to do, because I did this to myself when I was moving from homelessness just to the next level of getting stable, right? You're not going to go from homelessness to $100 million, right? It's you know, there's levels along the way.
Yes.
Well, I had this moment where I remembered one of the things that I remembered as I was coming out of homelessness. I went to a gym and I remember looking in my eyes, I'm like, dude, what the hell are you doing? You were just getting coached by a multimillionaire a year ago, free. And he just wanted to see you win. You know, what the heck are you doing? So anyway, so I got this mirror on the stage and I pull it up and I have the audience stand up, say, all right, everybody grab your mirrors, right? Everybody grabs their mirrors, like, hold it up, look at yourself, look at your beautiful eyes. Look at you. You're so sexy. Yeah, daddy. Yeah, mom, right. And like, make it kind of fun and enjoyable. And I say, all right, everybody repeat after me. I'm like, and it was like, yeah, let's go. I'm like, I forgive you, bro. People hit their knees crying because we don't give ourselves permission.
Yeah.
There's nothing inside of you that's causing hurt, pain, and all these different emotions that it's stealing from your life today, right? If it's stealing from your life today, it needs to be faced, integrated, and dealt with. So when you do show up, you're not showing up with a mask.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I've discovered in the last 2 years that the more I show up without a mask on and feeling like I need to tell anybody who I am or what I'm about, I just show up as Steven. Hey, I'm Steven. I think even when I introduce myself to you, hey, I'm Steven. Like, I'm not Steven, the successful entrepreneur, the best-selling author, the speaker, blah, blah, blah. I'm just Steven. I mean, those other things are things that I do, and I do it at a service.
Right.
Right? So the mask comes off. So that's my – I know it's another long-winded answer, but I love giving context to how authenticity is actually found because it's one thing to say, hey, what is self versus what is authentic self? At the end of the day, it's the mask. And I want to remove the mask because if you remove the mask, your whole world opens up.
In talking about the mask, and I know that you also talk about making clarity-based decisions, right? And that's how you can one of the ways you can transform. And you talked about the common denominator in people when they meet resistance is either they shy away from it or they lean into it. And what I have found is that the one thing that is missing from the person that may be shying away from resistance is the courage to lean into that resistance. And I find that courage sometimes is fueled by nothing other than just being fed up.
Yeah.
In the situation.
Yeah.
Like being fed up enough to say, I can't do this anymore. Or I can't live like this anymore. Or I have to make a change because what I've been doing is so uncomfortable that I got to lean into this resistance to move forward.
Yeah. Well, I think the tricky part is sometimes it's not just the uncomfortableness of like you've been stuck there so long. Sometimes if you really ask God to like remove everything out of you that out of you and in front of you that's in your way to do what he's called you to do, bro, oh man, that question, that will send you adversity. That it's Michelangelo with a big slab of marble. I know there's a statue that my good friend Randy Garn has in his office where it actually shows a guy chiseling his self out of a piece of stone.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And even Michelangelo says, you know, they were having a, I don't know the actual, virtually the actual quote, but essentially Michelangelo said, well, I don't see a slab of stone. I see an angel inside and I'm trying to release the angel. And your this adversity piece is something that is a common denominator. How you deal with adversity is how you're going to deal with your elevation, right? So leaning into adversity, to me, again, goes back to it could be uncomfortable. You could be uncomfortable, whatever. There's an old saying that there's a dog on a porch and the dog has a nail sticking in its butt, and the dog doesn't move until the nail finally gets far enough in his butt where it forces him to move. I'm probably more like that, which is why I'm saying, hey, there's probably a nail in your butt. You might just want to go ahead and move now. Yeah. You don't have to have this increase in pain, leveling up a pain to what you finally is like, oh, this really freaking hurts. Now I'll change.
Right.
Right.
Which is why what not just let's do though. Right.
Yeah. 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 Well, which is why I'm like, which is why I think I'm so evangelistic, if you will, on go inside. Right. The people, I want to build $100 million company. Great. Go inside. What are you talking about? I want to know about sales. I want to know about fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I want to know about how I manage cash flow and how I get more customers. And I'm like, no. You can only be a steward based on the level that you're at. And if you can only be a steward based on the level that you're at, until you increase your stewardship, you're not going to get more of the external things. I'm also a big believer that, and this is something I was actually talking to Rory Vaden about yesterday when we did a live podcast here in Nashville. A lot of us chase things. Like the house, the car, and dude, I love a nice sports car, man. Dude, some of those cars are sexy, right? And they are fun to drive,
yeah,
right? But I've learned a long time ago that all because I admire those things and stuff like that, whether I have some of those things or I don't have some of those things is not the important part. The important part is why I am pursuing things. And if I'm pursuing things out of a heart of service, it's funny, a lot of those things find their way in my direction. And other people's direction. And when you obtain those things, you'll realize how insignificant they are. I was telling Rory yesterday, I was like, dude, at the moment I exited a company, I had access to capital. Technically, I didn't have to go and do much of anything else other than, you know, occupy my time, you know, try to be a service or whatever. But I knew I'm good at building businesses. So I just, you know, kind of got going again. But when I did that, I also was at my most unhappiest moment. I could travel. I had plenty of money in the bank. My house was paid for. Mm-hmm. I was in influential rooms. I've been very fortunate to be in the presence of 9 and 10 figure earners fairly consistently. I was looking at different business deals. Like I, on the surface, in theory, I had everything that you say the world would want you to have and you would be happy and fulfilled.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, but that is the exact opposite of what happened. Those things, those achievements, those accolades mm-hmm. are not going to make you fulfilled. What makes you fulfilled is operating in service on the behalf of others in actual authenticity. Once you do that, all these things begin to gravitate towards you. So what I like to tell people all the time now is like, hey, it's cool to have things. It's not cool if they have you. So really look at what your motivations are that are driving your behaviors, right? Because when you understand that and you actually get an authentic alignment, dude, you're golden. You actually smile every day. You meet people with an energetic frequency and a presence of like, hey, how about you? How's your mom and them? Like, and be serious. You know, I don't know. I keep going off on tangents. Clearly I'm passionate about this. So
yeah, no, I love that. I have like a list of questions that I wanted to ask you, but this is better, like, because this is like authentic conversation. And this is the stuff that I also gravitate towards. And I think that our listeners and viewers gravitate towards this as well, because we're talking a lot about mindset. And, you know, there is something that you talk about that I want to ask you about is adaptive learning and unlearning. And
yeah.
The unlearning part, I think, is so important for us because as you were talking, I'm thinking like, why is it that we aren't raised to think this way? Why is it that when someone asks you, I want to have $100 million business, like, all right, well, you need to work on yourself first. Why is that like a shock? Why is that not an obvious decision for us to make to realize that in order for our exterior to become what we want, we have to change our interior first?
Yeah, I think the easiest answer is you have to understand culture. All right. So we come into this world. We don't have anything. You know, we can't even feed ourselves. We can't even change ourselves. And everything else from that point on, you learn. You catch it. Now I believe you're born with a divine purpose. I believe you're born with a divine personality. I believe that God anoints that birth, right? But part of human life is the experience. It's how you move through the experience and how you lean in or away from different experiences. So to me, adaptive learning and unlearning is nothing more than becoming consciously aware of the subconscious. Because there are things that you need to go. I know you. I'll use another business frame of reference. I was on Sean Anthony's podcast, and we were talking, and he goes, "Well, what's the easiest way to get more profit in your business?" And I'm sure he expected me to come out. Well, I would do this sales technique, and I would do this thing. I was like, "No, take a comb and go back through all the expenses of your business right now, and look and see where you're having what's called margin bleed, where you're bleeding margin, because you're not paying attention." Because you have enough money coming in to cover all your expenses and maybe some profit, and you think by selling more you'll get more. Reality is it's operational excellence that makes you highly profitable, right? So it's the inflow and controlling what goes out. The reason I say that is because adaptive learning and unlearning is nothing more than taking a fine-tooth comb and going back through your own life to date, looking for things in your life that you want to amplify. Looking for things in your life you want to restructure, right? But not doing it from a place of guilt and guilt and shame. A lot of us, when we go and we start looking at things we're not proud of, or things that happened to us, or things that hurt us along the way, it doesn't matter what the event was, hurt is hurt. And if you look at the external of you actually having applying shame and guilt towards somebody else's direction for wounding you, or the guilt and shame and condemnation that you have for wounding yourself, you're actually impeding your growth. What I like to tell people to do is like take your life as it is, take the major moments. You go and just take the 60 minutes to yourself, go to someplace serene that makes you feel alive, whether it's in the woods, whether it's in the downtown city, a coffee shop, like just go somewhere where you can be cool with you and still for a little bit. And list out the top 10 to 15 highlights of your life, right? They could be major highs or major lows. Okay. Just jot them down. Okay. And when you take those and you jot them down, the next thing I want you to do is I want you to evaluate them as if you're actually watching a movie. So take yourself out of the character role, put yourself in the editor role, and then watch the movie playback. Okay. At the peak moments and at the low moments, I want you to come up with a one-word theme of what you see. So, a marriage, for example, maybe the greatest day in your life so far is getting married to the person you love. Okay. So maybe the one-word theme is bliss. And then maybe the lowest point of the low is the one-word theme. One-word theme is betrayed. On the areas that are the uplifting things, these are the things that you want to feel. And the reason you want to feel them is because they're in alignment with your authentic self and your authentic spirit. The other items are wounds, so to speak. We call them inner child wounds, reparenting, or whatever. There's different terminology for it. It's the same thing. But it's being able to go back and look at that initiative and extrapolate what the lesson was. When you extrapolate what the lesson was, then you're going to be able to say, okay, I need to forgive self or I need to forgive someone else. But either way, I'm moving forward. Because this is my takeaway. And that lesson is never framed in the point of negativity. That lesson is always reframed in the point of this has helped me evolve and grow. And lo and behold, you can take that same process. Once you've done the work, you're now aware of, okay, and you just start with the first one. Okay, I was betrayed at this moment. I'm gonna go work on this for the next 3 months. Somatic work, coaching, counseling, different people that can help you in different mechanisms. I have not felt the need to get involved in plant medicine. It is helpful for some people. I've also seen it really hurt a lot of people. I do it with a professional, essentially, a professional somatic expert. And I'm not against traditional therapeutic models either. I've just had a lot more success with somatic models. Okay. Once you get to the processes you've dealt with, call it your top seven, right? Write them all down, take them jokers and throw them in a fire. Because once you've got the lesson, there's no need to carry it any further, right? And just subconsciously doing that brings the subconscious things to the conscious mind. The conscious mind now deals with the items. And once the items are dealt with, now your soul is more free to create. The more your soul can create, the more authentic you can be, the more authentic you can be, the more magnetic you'll be, the more magnetic you'll be, the more the dreams and aspirations that are actually in your heart. Now, there's a big difference in the dreams and aspirations that are in your heart versus what somebody else told you your dreams and aspirations should be. A big difference.
Right.
If you can't delineate between the two, you're going to live a life and build a business and all these types of things that are incongruent. And incongruency causes us to feel stuck and largely overwhelmed and anxious and not healthy.
Right.
Right. So when you understand that that is the delineation, you got to be able to separate that. Right. So my family had no understanding about like why at some point in time I left the construction industry of all things to go become an author and a speaker and a podcaster and a teacher and a mentor and a coach. Like, why are you? And you're not even teaching construction stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, you're teaching business stuff. I'm like, well, I learned business stuff, right? It's because at my heart of hearts, I'm one part lion and one part lamb. I'm bold enough to help you kick you in the butt if you need it. I'm also soft enough to give you a hug when you need it. Mm-hmm. And I do that through the framework of telling you about my life, my ups and downs, authenticity. I'm transparent. I don't hold anything back. I'll tell you every dumb mistake I ever made without fail and have zero problem doing it. Where most of us refuse to let other people know this is where we messed up. Because we think somehow it's going to drop our value. It actually does the opposite. Mm-hmm. When you live in vulnerability and transparency consistently, the value of your worldly identity, if you will, people looking at you, yeah, actually raises, right? A lot of times, I think one of the things that I did when I was at Amberley's event with the various entrepreneurs I got a chance to have one-on-one conversations with, as they would share this, you know, this thing they were working through. And many times I was able to say, well, I did that too. By the way, this is what I did differently. And by the way, this is how I prevent it in the future. And it created conversation, right? So at the end of the day, I think it's important to understand that if you're going to have this concept of adaptive learning and unlearning, mm-hmm, you need to understand, you need to go through a process. Now, if you go through that process that I shared with you earlier and then burn the stuff, you can use a frame of reference. I call it GROW. It's super easy. GROW. It's an acronym. Mm-hmm. From then on, I want you to focus on following that framework. Every time you have to make a major decision or you're trying to figure something out, gain perspective, the G. Recognize and remove roadblocks, which is the R, organize an effective plan, and then simply work your plan. And that's how you'll grow. But it starts from the inside out, not the outside in.
That is golden. I love how you're basically, at least the way that I heard it, you know, I clung on to that phrase, operational excellence. And mm-hmm, it sounds like, you know, from what you were telling us is that we need to, like in a business, you would trim the fat. Mm-hmm. The same in your life in terms of the things that are holding you back and going through that,
yep,
exercise of writing down, taking an hour and writing down those 10 to 15 things where you can separate the things that are, that bring you joy and are the happiest, mm-hmm, part of your life and the things that are the exact opposite. You can then start to trim the fat so you can have that, like you said, that create that space. Mm-hmm. Or more creativity, which again is really, again, now you are creating that opportunity for, mm-hmm, operational excellence in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a principle of excellence in the ordinary, right? So we all have our gifts and talents and strengths, and we all have things we're not super good at, mm-hmm, right? It's like how can I leverage and amplify what I'm really good at, right? Where I can add the most, and thinking in terms of adding the most value. Not in terms of, this is what I'm really good at, man. I'm, dude, when I hit the stage, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, one of the best pieces of speaking advice I'll give that I ever heard was a young speaker. And I show up and I was, you know, I'm still me, but, you know, I was the ego me, right? So I get up on stage and I would present at a performance and whatever. And I would, you know, I would help people, which was still the intent. But then later on, I had a mentor of mine that was a world-class speaker, you know, getting six figures for an hour. He said, bro, you could be a freaking powerhouse. you really could be exceptional at helping people change their lives. He goes, but I want to help you get a mental switch. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Tell me more. He's like, stop focusing on what you want to say and start focusing on what they need to hear. It's the process of adding value. The aligned self, the authentic self, the real self, that person is focused on adding value. And when you seek to add value, it never fails. You get lots of opportunities to do it. And out of those opportunities come more opportunities that allow you to be blessed in your own right in many ways. Blessing begats blessing. Cursing begats cursing. If you're walking around cursing yourself in many respects, you know, saying negative things to yourself, saying negative things of other people, gossiping, being hateful in your spirit, you're going to get more and more of that. You start showing up just to add value and let all the other stuff fall away, like not pay attention. I mean, literally not paying attention to it. Somebody does you wrong. I bless you in Jesus' name. I'm out. You don't get to do it twice. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to allow you to keep doing it. Right?
Right.
I really want people to lean into becoming their authentic self. In fact, I'm so passionate about this that my team and I spent the better part of 2 years creating a 5-minute survey tool to help people understand how aligned they actually are, right? Because when you understand how aligned you are, you now at least have a starting point mm-hmm. to either amplify your transformation or start your transformation.
Yeah.
And I did this for your audience and I hope they enjoy it. But if everybody goes to stephenscoggins.com/alignment, there is a free quiz tool there for that. There's a little video at the end of each one of the results that helps me unpack what that means to that person and gives them next steps. And I'm not selling a stinking thing. I'm just trying to show up and serve because my best life has been on the other side of the aligned life, right? All the other stuff was forcing. I'm forcing it to happen. I'm trying to make it happen. In fact, they tell you in marriage, like, I just hope it'll work, or I'm going to make it happen, or in business, I'm going to find a way. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that stinking hard. If you work on the inside of you, all the good stuff will begin to happen on the outside of you. And that's what a lot of folks nowadays call flow.
Get into the flow.
So yeah. Flow states on the other side of the aligned state. So you got to get aligned first. Alignment's number one. Get aligned and everything, all the good stuff will happen.
Yeah. Stephen, I know that you are a super busy man and I could sit here and listen to you all day long because I love what you are putting down because I am scooping it up and I know that our listeners
thank you
are as well. But I know that we have to end this conversation. But before we do, is there any other areas or any other ways that our listeners and viewers can get in contact with you or, you know, pick up more of your content? Where can they find you to find out more about you, your story, and your wisdom and knowledge bombs that you keep on dropping with them? Yeah.
Bro, well, first of all, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always an honor to get a chance to serve alongside of you and people who are doing great work in the marketplace. I'm probably most active on Instagram. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of fraudulent versions of me recently. But so my one is actually, there's a blue check in the whole deal. So it's Stephen_Scoggins. You can hit me up DMs and stuff like that. I really want to encourage everybody to go to stephenscoggins.com/alignment and take the quiz. Cause I really want to see people change
yeah.
for their benefit, not for mine. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, if you got other random questions, you just hit stephenscoggins.com, man. That's probably the easiest way and keep it super short and simple.
All right. We'll make sure that we put all of those links in the show notes for everybody to check out. And Stephen Scoggins, again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the Positive Persistence Podcast. And as we always end out, family, remember to stay positive, stay persistent, and know that mindset is everything. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Positive Persistence family. We're having a great time creating this content, and we truly hope it inspires you to embrace positivity and persistence in your own journey. If this podcast episode inspired you or entertained you, scroll down, hit those stars, and leave a comment or two. Your 5-star reviews and shares encourage us and help us grow the show. So until next time, stay positive, stay persistent, and remember, mindset is everything.